Well, tonight we're going to be looking at two hearts. Two hearts. You think the Bible has something to say about the heart? It definitely does. And this passage that we have in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 is one of those verses. Look what it says here. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Maybe you recall the context here. And that is, of course, Samuel going to anoint the new king of Israel and going to the house of Jesse and there seeing all of David's brothers and what fine strapping lads they were, you know, and built well and a strong stature. And one after one comes by to Samuel and Samuel says, "Lord, surely this is the one." And the Lord says, "Nope, that's not him." And then finally, he runs out. Jesse runs out of sons. And Samuel looks at him and says, "Do you got any more?" You can imagine the consternation at that point, you know, thinking, well, what's left? And so they call for David, little David, and who's ruddy and tending the sheep, and he's probably smelly, you know, and comes in, and Samuel probably looks at him and says, "Really?" And, of course, the Lord says, "That's him. That's the one right there. He will be king of Israel." And what is it that the Lord was looking for? Not for his physical appearance, not for the way how strong he was or how pretty he looked or anything like that, but he was looking at his heart. When the Bible speaks regarding the heart, a lot of times it's not talking about our blood pump that we have in the middle of our chest, but rather it's used in a metaphorical sense about different aspects of the mind, what we would call the mind today. The Bible uses the word heart in the sense of the center of man, it being the center of man. For example, we would talk about the heart of the tree. The wood that's in the heart of, or in the middle of the tree is called the heart wood because it's at the center. Okay. And when we think of that word heart in the Bible, we should think of not the blood pump, but the idea of it being the center of a person. The idea is expressed in many Bible passages. In fact, the Bible speaks of the heart imagining in Genesis 6:5. Speaks of the heart thinking in Genesis 17 and verse 17. It speaks of the heart willing in Exodus 35 and verse 5. The heart contains wisdom, Exodus 36 and verse 2. We're told about a seeking heart in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29 and a considering heart in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 39. It talks about a loving heart in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 and a heart that has fear in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 67. The heart may be grieved according to 1 Samuel 1 and verse 8 or have desire, 2 Samuel 3 and verse 21. The heart can pray, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 27, and have courage, 2 Samuel 17 and verse 10. The heart may experience guilt, according to 2 Samuel 24 and verse 10, and humility, 2 Kings 22 and verse 19. The heart may be lifted up with pride, 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16. Or it can be prepared, Ezra 7 and verse 10. Nehemiah 9 and verse 8 says it can be faithful. Job 33 and verse 3 says it can be upright. Psalm 4 and verse 7 says the heart may be filled with gladness. And it can also be broken and contrite, according to Psalm 34 and verse 18. And in Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6, the heart can trust. Now think of all of these different actions that are then associated with the heart. And consider that when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not just talking about our physical being, but rather it encompasses the intellect, the will, the emotions, and the conscience of people. And that's what the Bible heart is. So when we think about the Bible heart, and we look in the scriptures, there are two ways that the Bible, more often than not, characterizes the heart. And there are many different attributes associated with each of these two ways. There is, first of all, the hard heart. And then there is, secondly, the soft heart. And those two ideas are what we want to focus on this evening. We want to have the kind of heart that God wants us to have, the kind of heart that He was looking for in David. That's the kind of heart that each one should be concerned about maintaining. And so let's think about these two hearts the Bible discusses. First of all, there is the hard heart. There are several ways that the Bible describes the hard heart. It describes the heart as being stubborn. In Exodus chapter 7 through 14, over and over again, the Bible says that that old Pharaoh hardened his heart. And that's because he was being stubborn. He was refusing to relent to the Lord. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they also were stubborn. In Psalm 78 and verse 8, it says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." A stubborn heart. What is that stubborn heart? A heart that refuses to listen to God. During the period of Judges, the Israelites also had stubborn hearts. Judges 2 and verse 19 says, "And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way." Stubborn. We don't want to have a stubborn, hard heart. The hard heart is also described as being stiff-necked. And that's even worse than being stubborn, if you can imagine it. Stiff-necked. Think of it like this, that a person is so set in his or her ways that if something happens behind him or her, that they're not even going to flinch their neck. They're just going to stay right in that old stubborn path. Stiff-necked. Not turning the head around for any matter at all. And that's a more intense description of the stubborn heart. In Exodus 32 and verse 9, we read, "And Jehovah said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. They looked one way, their own way, and they wouldn't hear of anything else. Stiff-necked." In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16, Moses exhorted them to circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. And the idea there was to cut off the hardness that was surrounding their spiritual heart so that they might listen to the Lord and to do His will. In Acts 7 and verse 51, there Stephen, while preaching to the Jewish people of that day and time, said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so you do." And so, once again, we see a stiff-necked heart. And again, it goes beyond not listening to God's will, to an active resistance to God's will. And so there is the stiff-necked heart. There is also the impenetrable heart. And that's usually what the Bible means when it talks about hearts being hard. It means that they're impenetrable, and thus God is not allowed within the heart. In Luke 8 and verse 12, we read the story of the parable of the sower. And in that parable, it talks about the seed that goes by the wayside. And then it says, then comes the devil and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And the wayside soil, you remember, was that soil that was so trampled down. It was so hard that the seed could not get into the soil and penetrate it and germinate. And so, therefore, that's what the hard heart does. It is impenetrable. The Jewish leaders of Jesus and the apostles' day had this kind of heart. In Acts 5 and verse 33, it says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. The word of God slammed their hearts. And instead of letting the word into their heart, they rejected it and decided that they were going to put the apostles to death instead. Those who stoned Stephen also had this hard, impenetrable heart. It says in Acts 7 verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. An impenetrable heart is a heart that refuses to listen to the word of God. And then that hard heart, it's a stubborn heart. It's a stiff-necked heart. It's an impenetrable heart. But it's also a heart that is difficult to break. When something is difficult to break, it takes a tremendous amount of effort and struggle. And it's usually painful to go through. If you have ever had a broken bone, you know that that's the case. Broken bones are very hard. They're designed to be hard. They're supposed to be hard. But when they break, it's usually because there is a tremendous amount of force that is placed against them. And then there's a tremendous amount of pain associated with that as well. Because things that are hard and difficult to break, those things take a tremendous amount of force and effort and result in pain. Like breaking a horse, for example. I don't know if anybody here has ever broken horses before, but if you get on a horse that has never been ridden before and try to break that horse, it takes a lot of effort. And there may be some significant pain. I've known of several men who have been injured while trying to break horses. When we talk about the Bible heart being difficult to break, we're talking about a tremendous amount of pride that has built up in one's heart. And that makes the heart difficult to break as God wants it to break. In Daniel 5 and verse 20, it says regarding Nebuchadnezzar, you remember him, the king of Babylon. It says, but when his heart was lifted up, that is when he had so much pride in his life and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. And you remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He ended up acting like a beast in the field. And as a result of that, he had many years of difficulty and trouble. The prideful heart is a hard heart and a heart that is difficult to break. Sometimes we can have hearts that are hard when we don't intend it, when we're not looking to understand something. In Mark 8 and verse 17, Jesus was speaking to his disciples disciples there about the Pharisees, and he was warning them about the leaven of the Pharisees. Do you remember that story? And in warning them about that, the disciples looked to one another and they said, well, is he telling us this because we don't have any bread? And they were taking it in a rather literal sense. And Jesus corrected them and he said, why reason ye because you have no bread? Don't you understand? Have you a hard heart? Is the question that he asked. And their hearts were hardened because they were not looking for spiritual truths. They were simply focused on physical things. And sometimes we can get like that too. And unwittingly, we can harden our hearts to the truth of God's Word because we're so focused on maybe living this life or taking care of some physical business that we don't see the spiritual opportunities that are before us. And of course, there are those who simply do not want to understand as a result of their will. And they have hard hearts as well. In John 12 and verses 37 and 40, it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And then it says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. So Jesus gave the evidence that needed to be given to prove that he was the Son of God. But so many people refused to see the truth. Why? Because their hearts were hardened. Well, I hope that it will not be said of us that we have a hard heart, but that we would have a soft heart. And so let's talk about the soft heart for a few more moments here. The soft heart is a submissive heart. And this means that we're willing to listen to God and we're willing to obey God. You remember the parable of the wise and the foolish builder, and the one who built on the sand and the one who built on the rock. And Jesus said the one who built on the sand was the one who heard these words of mine but did not do them. The one who built on the rock was the one who heard his words and then proceeded to act upon them. And so we want to be wise and not foolish. And it means that we will have a soft heart, listening to the word of God and acting on it, being doers of the word and not hearers only. James chapter 1 and verse 22. We want to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil so that he will flee from us. James 4 and verse 7. And having a soft heart means that we're going to be obedient to God. Jesus had a soft heart, and it says that he was obedient to the Lord. In Hebrews 5, starting in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so Jesus had a submissive heart. But then the soft heart is going to be moldable and malleable. It's going to be like clay. God will take that heart and he'll shape it into the way that he wants it to be. In Isaiah 64 and verse 8 we read, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand. And so we want to be soft like clay, so that God can make us in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so he has made us to do good works We are His workmanship. And we want to have a soft heart and a moldable heart and a heart that is God is going to be able to shape. And how do we do that? By exhorting one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. And so we want that daily exhortation. We want that regular instruction. We want that teaching that God gives so that we can have that heart that is moldable. But then third, the soft heart is penetrable. That is, God's word can enter into that soft heart. In Acts 2 and verse 37, it says there, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And so those that heard on that day had a soft heart. And the word of God was able to enter the heart. And as a result of the word entering the heart, they were obedient to the word of God. That's the kind of heart we need to have. "Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119 verse 11. That's a heart that permits God's word to enter. Colossians 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom." 1 John 2 and verses 5 and 6, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." That's a soft heart. That's a heart that has been penetrated by God's word. That's a heart that will obey. And then a soft heart is a heart that is easy to break. And sometimes our heart needs to be broken. Having a broken heart means that we let God take control of our lives. Do you remember David's prayer in Psalm 51? And that prayer in that psalm was after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. But he prayed, "Break my heart, O Lord. Break my heart." What a tremendous prayer. And then he said, "A humble and a contrite and a broken heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Oh yes, David's heart was broken when he had heard that God was not pleased with his actions. But it was because David's heart was broken then that God could continue to have a relationship with David. And that made all the difference. That makes all the difference between one who is going to have a relationship with God and one who is not. The state of the heart, whether it's going to be hard and impenetrable and difficult to work with and impossible to change, or whether it's going to be soft and penetrable and malleable and easy to break. In Luke 22 and verse 42, Jesus presented to us the ultimate example of a broken heart when he said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Let's practice what Jesus taught in John 5 and verse 30 when he said, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own, but the will of the Father who has sent me." When we have this attitude, it will be easy for God to work with our hearts. What kind of heart do we have? Do we have a hard heart? A heart that's stubborn? A heart that's stiff-necked? A heart that's impenetrable? A heart that's difficult to break? Or do we have a soft heart? A submissive heart? A moldable heart? A penetrable heart? A heart that will break under the will of the Lord. I hope that each one of us will think about these two hearts tonight. Understanding which heart God wants us to have, and then seeking to make that the kind of heart that we truly do have within our life. Maybe this evening you need to put away the old hard, stubborn heart and soften your heart up for the Lord tonight to obey Him in seeking to do His will. Jesus wants everyone to hear His word and to believe it, to repent of sins, to confess Him as Lord, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe this evening it's the right time for your heart to be broken so that you can respond to Jesus' invitation. Maybe you need the prayers of the church tonight in that regard. And now is a good opportunity to ask for those prayers. And so if you have a need this evening, we invite you to come and make it known while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.